The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Matcha.
So good.
Matcha Love.
Yes, I love it.
No, Matcha Love, the brand.
Oh, yeah, Matcha Love, made with real Japanese matcha.
It's rich, smooth, perfect for hot or cold brewing.
Matcha's great because it's rich in vitamin C and EGCGs.
What do you like to make with it? I like to make matcha lattes.
I'm all about making smoothies.
Why wouldn't you be?
Get 25% off all Matcha Love products at itoin.com using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, Zarin.
Hello, Elizabeth Dutton, right?
Correct, yeah.
Nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
How you been?
Awesome.
That's good to know.
Happy.
Yeah, I love that for you.
Thank you. I love it for me, too. Do you know what's ridiculous?
Oh, I got this one. Yes. You know the Boy Scouts of America?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So there used to be a competing organization called the American Boy Scouts, and this one was started by William Randolph Hearst. The reason why he started it was because there was a publisher in Chicago named William Boyce, and he had started the Boy Scouts of America.
Now, the Boyce Scouts?
Well, no, that was just how I said that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually was started in England. An English dude started the Boy Scouts, and then they transported the idea to America. He starts the Boy Scouts of America. Mm-hmm. No connection to his last name, Boyce.
Okay.
Anyway, Hearst is like, you know what? I want my own army of boys. So he then starts the American Boy Scouts. And this is all part of his ongoing publisher rivalry with this dude, Boyce, who's in Chicago, right? Now, these two groups were super similar because, like, they both were Boy Scouts, right? And, in fact, there was a whole litigious thing about who can call themselves Boy Scouts. The big difference between the two of them, Hearst's group, the American Boy Scouts, carried loaded firearms. Yeah, a rifle was issued to every American Boy Scout, which surprisingly did not go well. Well-armed 12-year-olds, this turned out to be a bad idea.
It was a standing boy army.
Yeah, he had his own standing boy army.
That's ridiculous.
It's very William Hearst.
You know what else is ridiculous?
No, hit me with it.
Conning people into buying land in a fake country.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I know you would. I'm Elizabeth Dutton, and that guy over there is Zarin Burnett.
What are you, a cop?
Yes, and this is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free, and guess what? 100% ridiculous.
I like that about that.
Me too. I like that about that. I like that about everything. You know what else I like? I like to think of myself as pretty skeptical and untrusting.
I'd say that's mostly true.
It serves me well.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people feel like I do. Do you think you're skeptical and untrusting?
I think I am so skeptical and trusting, I need other words.
Throw a dash of jaded in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly.
But see, people like you and I, still, maybe not you, people like me, still fall victim to confidence schemes.
Oh, yeah, I know it happens.
Some people carry them out, Like you.
Yes. So, oh, no, I will pay for a good, like, three-card Monty game. If I see somebody doing a hustle, I'll go and drop $20 just
to
see
it. Yeah, okay, I don't care. You would follow.
I don't mind being taken as long as I know I'm being taken.
Oh, well, that's a good point. Well, so there's this woman, Maria Konnikova. Mm-hmm. She has a bachelor's in psychology from Harvard.
I've interviewed her. I know her.
Oh,
and well, I don't know her
PhD
personally.
In psychology from Columbia.
Yeah, she writes all about Kant. She's great.
Right, she's got the bona fides. Mm-hmm. In 2016, she wrote a book called The Confidence Game.
Great book.
In The Confidence Game, she profiles a bunch of con artists and analyzes the psychology behind the con, the victim, their relationships. One of the con men that she wrote about is a man named Gregor McGregor.
Good name.
Gregor McGregor. Basically, she's wondering, why do we believe this garbage? How can our sense of truth be so manipulated? She says that there are two kinds of persuasive tactics used by confidence tricksters. There's alpha, which is more common, mm-hmm. meaning that's the one where you would just increase the appeal of what you're trying to.
You make someone want it more and more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The offer's way tempting. And she makes it seem like what is a want is actually a need, that mm-hmm. you just have to have it. Mm-hmm. Omega, decreasing resistance to this. So you got to do it. You'd be such a fool if you didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, why would you not? This is a rare opportunity. Like, mm-hmm. all you have to do is X. Yeah.
Right. So Konnikova says, and I quote.
Yes.
They call the juxtaposition the approach avoidance model of persuasion. You can convince me of something by making me want to approach it and decreasing any reasons I might have to avoid it.
That's some real core human psychology.
Yeah. So Gregor McGregor, Gregor son of Gregor, Uhtred son of Uhtred.
Totally. You know I'm over here last kingdoming the hell out of that name. I am Gregor McGregor.
And destiny, what is it?
It is all.
That's right. So Gregor McGregor had the perfect blend of alpha and omega in his cons. And that is what I want to talk to you today about, Zarin.
You know how
that's
I love that alpha
here.
And omega.
Mm-hmm. So Gregor McGregor, born Christmas Eve, 1786 in Scotland.
Hmm.
You know, as you do. His dad was an East India Company sea captain.
Oof, rough life.
Yeah. Great uncle, great great uncle, Rob Roy. The Scottish outlaw and folk hero. His grandpapa was Gregor the Beautiful.
That's amazing. Like Pliny the Elder, Pliny the Younger, Gregor the Beautiful.
He was apparently a stunner.
Apparently.
Really turned heads. When Gregor McGregor, Gregor, mm-hmm. son of Gregor, mm-hmm. this is going to, you know, when you have
is
to
say
something.
Is that what Mac means? Gregor, Mac, Gregor? Does it mean son of Gregor?
Sure.
Look at me over here, learn something new
I'm
every day.
I'm acting like that's what, I'm pretty sure, but guess
just
what?
Lie
I'm,
to me.
I'm probably wrong. That happens a lot. I'm probably saying it wrong.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So when he was 16, Gregor, which I'm going to say so often is going to start to not sound like a word. Mm-hmm. You know how that works. He joined the British Army. And when he was 19, he married a gal named Maria Bowater.
Wow, these names.
Right. So she was the daughter of a Navy admiral. And she had a huge dowry because she had high profile, wealthy family members.
Okay.
So he gets married. And then he buys his way from lieutenant, or as they would say, lieutenant.
Yes.
He'd already kind of fast-tracked his way into that. Somehow, he buys his way into captain. It cost him £900, which is the equivalent of £70,000 today.
Okay.
And he did that instead of serving for 7 years to reach captain.
Now, I don't expect you to know this answer, but do we have any idea who he paid that money to?
I guess.
Like the Admiralty, or is it more of like...
the recruiters at the mall? I don't know.
I was just curious.
Yeah. I suppose, I guess, yeah. It's like the brass at the mm-hmm. yeah. the military.
The Lord Admiralty, isn't that the...
Slid it under their door, and they slid the captain's medals or whatever.
And that big hat just under the door.
They came and put it on his head gently in the middle of the night. That's how he knew.
He woke up, I've been captained.
Yeah, ta-da. So he served in Gibraltar from 1805 to 1809 under the Duke of Wellington.
Mm.
And he was totally obsessed, speaking of those caps, with mm-hmm. military appearances.
I know the type, right?
Huge,
spotted it.
Huge love of uniforms.
Con man loves uniforms.
Mm-hmm. It's all the surface. Yeah. The hoot and the hut. That Ooh. Makes no sense. So he loves uniforms. He wouldn't let any enlisted men or like NCOs, non-commissioned officers, leave their housing
mm-hmm.
unless they were in full dress uniform. And that really wasn't convenient.
No.
So guess what? The men hated him.
Shocker.
Right. May 1810, he starts mixing it up with a superior officer and he gets forced out of the military, retiring. at the age of 23.
Oh, so mixing it up more like he got in a fist fight.
Yeah, they just, they went, they had a little back and forth.
Ah, little difference of opinions.
And he was encouraged to leave. So he and the missus, they moved to London.
Okay.
And that's when he starts calling himself a baron, Sir Gregor MacGregor. You know?
As one does.
You just start giving yourself a title. He was really leaning on that whole Clan MacGregor thing,
mm-hmm.
talking about how he was a chieftain. He's mm-hmm. he's upping this. Now, granted, you know, Rob Roy is his great uncle, yeah, but I mean, that's,
he might have some legitimate ancestral claims.
I guess.
Kinda.
Yeah. But it's around this time that tragedy strikes.
I hate when that happens.
I know, me too. His wife, Maria, passed away.
Oh.
Now, her family, this rich family, they didn't want anything to do with Gregor MacGregor.
Oh.
I'm not exactly sure why. Like, and I don't know how she died.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of this, it's a mystery.
Oh.
To at least me. And so her family was just like, get out of here, dude. We don't want anything, you know, mm-hmm. you're the poor. So get out of here.
The old class warfare.
Yeah. So his wife is dead.
Okay.
It's not going to look good if he picks up a new society honey and is like, hey, pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
He can't, it's just too soon. Too soon, they keep telling him.
Yeah.
He is restricted from social climbing in that way. He can't go back into the military and kind of earn a higher level of notoriety because, mm-hmm. well, he fought himself right out of there. And he didn't want to go back to Scotland because it just wasn't fancy. It wasn't fun.
He's like, I'm over the moors.
So he does the next logical thing. He went to South America.
Wait, what?
When in doubt, go to South America. So at the time, there are all these revolutions happening in South America.
Oh, yeah, all the people Bolivar revolutions.
Yeah, yeah, people are pushing back against mm-hmm. the Spanish crown. General Francisco de Miranda, mm-hmm. he was a revolutionary in Venezuela, and he visited London and was a huge hit. Everybody loved him. He got taken around to all these parties and introduced. They gave him gifts and stuff. Gregor's like, you know what? I want in on that action.
I like that cut of that man's mm-hmm. jib, and I want what he has.
Exactly. So 5 months after his wife dies, he sets foot in Caracas.
Okay, 5 months.
It's not too long.
No, it's a little quick.
But he had to get out.
Yeah.
Had to move on. So he knew that the revolutionaries there would not be keen on his whole I'm a royal thing.
Good read.
So he stopped pretending to be one for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he says that he's a Scottish knight of the Portuguese Order of Christ.
I've never heard of the Portuguese Order of Christ.
They're essentially the Portuguese Knights Templar.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard of them. And no. I've like read some books on the Templars.
I think he was kind of banking on people not really.
Yeah, exactly.
So he goes to General Miranda, volunteers. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, man, we met in London. I don't think they actually did. Gives him a cavalry, makes him a colonel. Right there. It's not like he was in a position to turn him down,
yeah.
Miranda. You know, the revolution needed help. It wasn't going so hot.
And this guy's claiming to be military. I mean, he was military, but he wasn't a captain. But.
Right. So Gregor says he'll help, and he actually delivers. He helps. 2 months after he gets there, he marries a woman named Doña Josefa Antonio Andrea Aristeguita y Lovera.
Nice.
Yeah, nailed it. She was rich. She also had a very well-known cousin. You mentioned him briefly, Simon Bolivar.
Oh, my man, mm-hmm. Simon Bolivar.
Things are looking up, right?
Yeah.
She marries Bolivar's cousin. He gets promoted to brigadier general.
This guy, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he married up again. But the revolution's still not going so well. Gregor and his wife, Josefa, they wind up fleeing to Curacao.
Okay.
And Bolivar meets up with them there. General Miranda, he gets arrested and imprisoned in Spain.
Yikes.
Yeah. So Gregor fights for a while in New Granada, which today is Colombia and Panama, a little bit of Costa Rica, Ecuador, Venezuela, Peru, Brazil,
mm-hmm.
little tastes of all those actually thrown into. And he manages to do some heroic things. Some people were already on to him, though. An officer at the time wrote, quote, look, I'm just quoting it up like you would here. I am sick and tired of this bluffer or Quixote or the devil knows what. This man can hardly serve us in New Granada without heaping 10,000 embarrassments upon us.
Ooh, that's a lot of criticisms. Because one, you can get the idea that he's not doing so well in the field. Secondly, the whole Quixote, like, you know, tilting at windmills suggests he's not got a good read of reality. And then the bluffer part means this dude's got his number.
Yeah, I mean, completely. So Gregor starts fighting in various arenas all around South America, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. He's seen as someone with really great military skill, praised by generals, a hero, right? But he's so full of himself. And that continues to play a little bit in his favor far away from home. Mm-hmm. But his luck starts to change. He has a failed attempt to capture Florida.
I mean, who here hasn't at least tried once
Raise
to capture
your hand
Florida?
If you haven't tried to capture Florida.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe, look at all these hands going up across the world.
If only the panhandle.
So here's what happens. He gets convinced to go and try and capture Florida to use it as like a home base for all these revolutions.
Which is what Andrew Jackson tried to do.
He goes to Pennsylvania. He goes to Philadelphia, raises some money, starts going all around the Southeast, gets a little army, goes to Amelia Island first off the coast of Florida.
Father loves that spot.
Right. And so here's to Pops. He goes out there, the fort on the island. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they've got guns. They got like 50 guys.
Cannons and all the whole bit.
Right. Here's the thing, Gregor, he's got 80 men, but he's making it feel like there's a whole lot more. So when he arrives on a ship, they just surrender at the fort because they think he's got a ton of guys. No shots are fired.
See, con man in the military.
Yeah, they disembark and then there's sort of this moment where like, oh, and then Gregor is playing this up like, you know what? I claim this land for me. And then he says he's going to start paying people in Amelia bucks and they all get mad at him and spit on him and he winds up, then the Spanish show up, they're like, get out of here, dude. So he leaves.
He totally overplayed his hand.
He did.
I love that. Once he got to Amelia money or Amelia bucks or whatever it was, you're like, bro,
yeah, stop.
It's over. It's over.
And he also tried to ban looting in his troops, and that's when they turned on
him. That's why they're in the army.
Totally.
I mean, come on now.
So he'd also tried to steal a naval commander's ship. The ship was called the Hero, and he renamed it El McGregor. And then he scuttled it.
I like his style. I got to admit.
So he has all these like failed liberation attempts in various port cities. Everything's starting to fall apart. Plus, Simon Bolivar now hated him.
I'm kind of guessing that one, yeah.
Yeah, Bolivar said he was a traitor for all his bumbling military acts, orders him hanged if he ever sets foot in South America again. So he's just like...
Standing hanging order?
A death sentence for an entire continent.
So you have an appointment with the noose here in South America?
Yeah. His wife and child went to Jamaica to sandals.
Oh.
We went to Jamaica. But
they wanted to go get their hair braided?
Yeah, and they were feeling hot, hot, hot. He couldn't go there because he was wanted for gun running and piracy.
Yeah, I bet the British also had a little line about him.
Yeah, they weren't into him. So what is he, like back home, what's going on in England, there's a book that gets written about his exploits, good and bad, but mostly the bad, that gets published. The author, Michael Rafter, he writes that Gregor was, quote, politically, though not naturally, dead.
Wait, what?
And to suppose that any person could be induced again to join him in his desperate projects would be to conceive a degree of madness and folly of which human nature, however fallen, is incapable.
I'm going to have to take issue with you, Michael Rafter. I've known humanity. They can go lower.
I'm here to tell you, human nature is more than capable of falling to that kind of degree of madness and folly.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
When we come back from this ad break, I'll tell you just how mad and foolish people can be. Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because SimpliSafe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. SimpliSafe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying SimpliSafe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Matcha!
I love matcha. So rich and smooth.
Do you love matcha love?
Yep. Matcha love is the best in the biz.
Experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf.
So many powerful health benefits.
You know what else I love? Sweet treats.
You are in luck. Matcha's great for baking.
Can you make cookies or cheesecake with matcha?
Yes. Or your other favorites, ice cream or madeleines.
Yes. Delicious.
Matcha love.
Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoin.com. Using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
All right. So, Gregor McGregor, He bungled up his mercenary work in South America. Where's he going to go next?
Jeez, I don't even know. Texas?
Well, he couldn't. Okay, let's start from where he came from. England.
Yeah.
Can't go back there because he doesn't have anything.
Uh-huh.
And they're kind of on to him after that biography.
And I'm guessing he doesn't speak other languages. So I'm thinking he has to go somewhere Spanish or English.
Don't forget where he's going. There are no roads. Where he's going, people speak English for the most part. And, you know, when he was raised, apparently he was raised speaking Gaelic and then had to learn English when he was in the Navy.
Okay.
I don't know if that's maybe part of his mythos.
Study. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. So he can't go to England. Keep in mind, he's 34 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so where does he go?
Cabo.
I want you to close your eyes.
Okay.
And picture it. The Mosquito Coast. It's not just a 1986 Harrison Ford movie. It's actually the coastal area of what is now Honduras and Nicaragua. And it's not named for the insect. Did you know that?
Did not know that.
It's named for the Miskito people.
Huh.
The indigenous
so
people
the
of the area.
So the mosquitoes are both named for these people?
No, they're named for different things.
Wow.
Because it's musca. I can't remember what the root is.
Musca
the Latin
is fly.
Root. Yeah, and so mosquito is little fly.
Yeah.
And this is actually the Miskito.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, there are obviously a lot of mosquitoes there. The Miskito people didn't have a notion of a king until the English arrived in the 1700s.
Bad introduction to a king.
Yeah. So the English get there and they start assigning titles of chief, but like the title doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one way for the Brits to kind of mark their territory from the Spanish.
Oh, okay.
To say, look, we got all these kings and chiefs and all this, and they report to us. So right now it's 1820 in your mind on the Mosquito Coast.
That's a big year in Spanish history.
Gregor rolls up to the sandy, swampy shores of the Mosquito Coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking lush, but it's not fertile ground and the jungle super dense.
Yeah, I've seen the movie.
He pokes around and all he can find is an old graveyard. No structures, no remnants of the English settlement that had once been there. So he goes a little further inland and he makes contact with the people living there. And he meets King George Frederick Augustus. Remember, this is just a king in name only. The Brits come and they're like, look, I don't know how you say your name. You're now King George Frederick Augustus. He's like, great. He has no control over anything, not even his name, apparently. So Gregor starts chatting him up. He's like, it's really lovely here, man. So thanks, dude. You looking to sell this land? You know, I'm a famous royal war hero guy. You know, one king to another. And the king's like, yo, you don't say, what you got? Gregor's like, well, you know, I've got some rum. I've got this bag of jewelry. There's got like fun bangles and a kicky necklace for you in here. And the king's like, you know what? Yeah, let's see. That'll get you, let's see, carry one. about 8 million acres. 8 million acres. Yes. Good job, Gregor. He's a master negotiator. So Gregor writes up this document, and it says that he and his heirs own now most of the Miskito territory, and then the king signs it. What does he care? It's like if I signed a paper granting you possession of Los Angeles in exchange for a Target gift card.
Exactly.
You know, I like to think of myself as the queen of California, but it doesn't mean I can just sign it all away.
I just like Target gift cards.
Right. So Gregor, you know, he looks around a bit. He's got this document. He's got the deed to the place now. Mm-hmm. He's kicking the tires, surveys.
He's like, the English love paperwork. I'm in good.
Right. And the people there, they just look at him and shrug. They're like, all right, cool. Yeah, you're the boss
now. Enjoy your paper, man.
Sure, dude. So he names it Poye, P-O-Y-A-I-S.
Okay.
Poye, after the indigenous people who live in the highland area, like up at the source of the river there, the Paya or the Poyer, they get called a lot. Okay. Now they're called the Petch people.
Huh. Cool.
He heads back to London, tells everyone that the king not only gave him all the land, but he also got a title, the Cazique of Poye. Cazique being like Poye. A chief or a prince, yeah. Right? So officially, he said his full title was His Serene Highness Gregor I, Sovereign Prince of the State of Poye and its Dependencies, and Cacique of the Poyer Nation.
Oh, he's really hitting the royal energy. I like this. He's like, I need somebody to have some trill on this.
He went through the entire inventory of possible titles and was like, and that one.
I'll take a little of this.
A little bit here.
Oh, and I'll definitely some dependencies.
So he starts telling everybody, yeah, the dependencies is great. Like, yeah. You'll find out. This is even better. So he starts telling everyone about beautiful Poye. And he's just laying it on thick. So according to Gregor, the weather was perpetual summer. And more akin to an English summer, not a tropical summer.
Yeah, I was wondering, just about to ask.
Yeah. So then they have super cool exotic wildlife. Like really flashy stuff. The land, so fertile, stuff just grows itself. No worries. That there's rare wild fruit everywhere that's delicious and refreshing.
I mean, he's not half wrong, but...
Yeah, he's 100% wrong. Endless herds of cattle. It's just like, we got all these, you know, we got 9 million head of cattle. And then abundant natural resources. He says redwood, cedar, mahogany.
All of your fine hardwoods.
The tropical redwoods.
Yes, exactly.
Think about that for a second. Pristine sandy beaches, so you could open a sandals there if you really wanted to. Chunks of gold just sitting in the river.
Just waiting for your hand to grab at.
Precious gemstones littered all over the ground in the hillsides.
They're always into that same story.
And he also said there's like a well-planned infrastructure of roads.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. A palace, a cathedral, an opera house, government buildings, mansions.
A Roman auditorium.
A bustling port. He says there's a huge bustling port. There are plantations there. Cotton, coffee, sugar, indigo. A very complex legislative system. Don't forget that when he got there, there's just an abandoned graveyard at this point and jungle.
He just sees a lot in that graveyard.
But in his, yeah, he has a vision. But he's telling him this already exists. So he draws up leaflets and some artwork depicting his paradise, starts passing them around in London, Edinburgh. The wealthy society folks and the kind of like lesser royals, the also-rans, they're eating this up.
The second like, sons of the baron?
Yes. They're like, dude, let's do this. This is amazing.
This is my chance.
He extends a royal invitation to King George.
You can see the con taking shape.
Oh, yeah. It's just like he just keeps throwing fuel on the fire.
It'd be too easy for you not to just go take advantage of this. The gold is sitting there in the river.
Yeah. And so he says he extends a royal invitation to King George to come on over for a visit.
King to king.
Yeah, just exactly. So he, I'm sure, figured the king's not going to take him up on this. Mm-hmm. But the publicity is great and it's working. So the news of this utopian society conquered by a descendant of Rob Roy starts spreading throughout the land. And Gregor had this sidekick, supposedly.
Yes.
His official title
I love
was
a good sidekick.
Captain in the Native Poyer Regiment and aide-de-camp to His Highness.
Very nice.
Yeah. His English name was Thomas Strangeways.
Oh, wow. So now, you say his English name as in he was a native Mosquito?
No. He was a Brit. He was an Englishman.
Okay.
But he has all these titles, but his name's Thomas Strangeways.
I got you. Okay.
Brief note about Strangeways. The prison in Manchester is referred to as Strangeways and famously referenced in the title of the Smiths album, Strangeways, Here We Come.
Look at you with the deep holes.
Well, the opening track, too, is A Rush and a Push and the Land is Ours. And the name, though, doesn't come from like someone naming the prison after a person. It comes from the area where the prison was built.
So if you named yourself Strangeways, you have to be naming yourself after the prison. It'd be like if I named myself Thomas Sing Sing.
No, it'd be like the area where it was built was called Strangeways, and it means a place by a stream with a strong current.
Okay.
So it's sort of like that's where his people must have come from.
I got you.
If that's their last name.
Okay.
We can only surmise that that's where that name comes from, Manchester. I still mourn the Smiths, P.S.
I know you do.
You know, too problematic. Can't listen anymore. Anyway, Thomas Strangeways. He was said to be a member of Gregor's entourage, someone who had presumably seen the actual Poye. He wrote a comprehensive guidebook, like a sales brochure for people looking to do some good old-fashioned colonizing.
Like a Lonely Planet pamphlet?
Yes, a Lonely Planet Rick Steves guide to Poye.
Okay.
The only problem was that Strangeways was actually Gregor.
I knew it.
Yeah.
He John Barron'd the hell out of that.
He totally did. And so he keeps saying, look, I'm telling you this, but here's this guy I just met that I brought on board. He'll tell you all about it. Read this book. You know, it's in the book. So Gregor then sets up sales offices all over England.
Okay.
And they offered people a chance to buy an acre of land for just a low price of 4 shillings.
That is really low, right?
I mean, that's like, who knows?
I mean, aren't shillings like, it's basically coinage and it's like the type of like, I'm buying maybe a loaf of bread with shillings, right?
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm saying like halfpenny is halfpenny, and then shilling is like one of their, it's like a quarter or whatever.
You know what? I have no idea.
Okay, good. I'm glad we had this talk.
Thank you. So he hires balladeers to write songs and go on tour, and they're like crooning about the luxurious joys of Poye.
I like his playbook. Good con playbook.
I'm going to go back to Maria Konnikova for a second.
Please.
I want to quote from her.
Yes.
What she says about Gregor. He highlighted the bravery and fortitude that such a gesture would demonstrate. You wouldn't just be smart, you'd be a real man. The Scottish Highlanders were known for their hardiness and adventurous spirit, he wrote. Poye would be the ultimate testing ground, a challenge and a gift all in one. He pointed those who needed more convincing to a book on the virtues of the small island nation by the elusive Thomas Strangeways, actually MacGregor himself. His prospectus enticed the public with their masterful promises, their lure of opportunity, their appeal to scarcity, their admonitions not to let this perfect moment pass by.
Yep.
So he's
hitting all the buttons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's like, come on, you conquer things, conquer this.
Yeah. Be a man about it. Come on.
At this point, people are begging to go to Poye Paradise. They want in.
I got 4 shillings.
So the bulk of the first group selected were Scots. Seems like a betrayal to me.
How so?
Well, because he knows it's fake. And then he's bringing all these Scots, you know, I don't know. Have some hometown pride.
No, I mean, I feel you on that. But
don't
also,
do
don't
it
you
to
think
your
that,
own
that maybe that's kind of the shill nature? It's like, look, I got to get some Scots because then if I get them, people will believe it. So
yeah,
it's not even.
Well, and he's appealing to their hardy
Scotsmen.
He needs
that ruddy Scottish.
But here's the thing, most of the people that the Scots that he got were older farm folk of lesser means looking to retire.
Okay, well, that's kind of.
Yeah.
Yep.
So also,
he just straight up conned him.
Yeah, there were young lads who wanted adventure and he was promising them positions in the Poye military. Educated professionals, they would buy titles and cush government gigs from him and set themselves up. There were tradesmen, artisans who traded in their English businesses for a chance at cornering the Poye market on, I don't know, sandals.
Oh, damn.
Candles.
Sandals and candles.
Saddles. Books.
Paddles.
Whatever. All of them traded every pence that they had in pounds sterling into Poye bucks that Gregor had printed up. So all the people who are going
to
go.
I'm just blown away by this. I mean, like, there's got to be, they had to know other people. The English are over there. They have English people in Jamaica. Aren't they aware of, like...
No, there's so many shifting sands in South America at this point.
Sure, I mean, I'm with that. But, I mean, couldn't there be somebody who's over in Port Royal? It's like, no, I know a little bit about South America. I don't even need to go to Poye to tell you that doesn't exist.
Well, maybe they wanted to believe it, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just always surprised by that.
Yeah, they're just thinking, oh, they just haven't looked that far. Mm-hmm. He found a better place.
Maybe he saw something I didn't see.
Yeah, so he says he's got this great exchange rate. It'll give you Poye bucks for your pound sterling.
And confidence is very mesmerizing. People will go with it over rational thought all the time.
And the group mentality. Yeah. If all these other people, and you think, oh, this is going to be great. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. Gregor, he starts taking out loans on behalf of the Poye government. 200,000 pounds. Do you know how much that is today?
I have no idea.
27 million pounds, Zarin.
The Bank of London should be ashamed.
I know. For us Yanks, that's $35 million. Right? September 10th, 1822.
Mm-hmm.
50 brave souls boarded the vessel Honduras Packet in Leith, Scotland.
This is interesting because 1822, that's a year after the Spanish basically pull out of the New World. So, like, there's going to be a rush of people. Mm-hmm. He timed this so well.
Totally. Totally did. They sailed the oceans blue and then they reached the Mosquito Coast.
Mm-hmm.
They were pumped, dude.
I bet they were.
So fired up. The flag of Poye was raised on the ship. It was a white background and a green cross. And that was the fake flag that Gregor used for all his other previous land grabs. And he also said he had the Knights of the Green Cross. So he had this whole mythology that he'd created. So the settlers, they pile into the tenders and they make their way from the Honduras Packet to shore.
Okay.
This was it. This is it. This is the moment of truth, man.
Eureka. They found it.
Ugh. Can you imagine what it must have felt like for these people at that time? Like the excitement, the anxiety.
I'm just wondering why they didn't want to go to like America or somewhere a little more proven. So I'm like, I'm a little curious about who these people are that they're so like, this is my chance. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to become like the future of Poye. I'm like, they seem like they're already telling themselves stories is what
I mean. Oh, they totally are.
So I'm imagining this moment is just going to be like eye-opening, dazzling, just like we finally here. And then all of a sudden they get stung by a mosquito.
Well, and they get that feeling of being the first on the scene.
Yeah.
And so people are like, yeah, you know what? U.S. played out.
Yeah, okay.
And it's starting to get really crowded. And they want to go somewhere where the land is cheap. And I mean, the way they've been told, it is an absolute utopia.
And I'm sure they're looking for the new America or the new Australia,
right.
Whatever
and
it is.
And they want to get in early.
Or, yeah.
He's telling them, get in on the ground floor.
Yeah, get yourself a couple million acres and have at it.
It's incredible, right? So I'm just imagining that the people on these tenders, they're getting up to the shore and they're just all abuzz.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation on these little boats must have been incredible.
Yeah, weeks across the Atlantic, all that time to build up anticipation.
And this is it. Don't forget, there are other ships of fools right behind them crossing the ocean to find this false paradise.
Oh, this is the first boat, right?
This is just the first boat. But I mean, they're ones who are like literally right on their tail. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to paint you a picture of that moment of contact between the pioneers and the sandy shores of Poye.
Matcha!
I love matcha. So rich and smooth.
Do you love matcha love?
Yep. Matcha love is the best in the biz.
Experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf.
So many powerful health benefits.
You know what else I love? Sweet treats.
You are in luck. Matcha's great for baking.
Can you make cookies or cheesecake with matcha?
Yes. Or your other favorites, ice cream or madeleines.
Yes! Delicious!
Matcha love!
Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoin.com. Using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, Saren. Waves lap against the hulls of the tenders, ferrying the incomers to the shores of Poye.
Just the way I like a wave. Lapping.
Lapping it up. These folks were about to start their new lives in a South American paradise.
I love that for them.
So long, suckers in Scotland and England. They were kitted out in their best clothes.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not like, oh, you know, they're just in their work pants.
Yeah.
Like, no.
They're showing up in their Easter hats.
In their finest. Yes. So many bonnets. So many pressed suits. They think they're just going to get out and stroll the streets of Poye. Remember,
yeah,
there's an opera house. Mm-hmm. They're like, let's get dazzled up. We'll rest a bit when we get in. And then that night we can go out to dinner and
stroll the streets, perambulate.
And I'm sure that they think that, you know, a fine dinner is
waiting for them. Oh, yeah.
And cheap.
They're like, oh, I'll have quail eggs and then I'll have a beautiful.
Well, and it's like all sorts of people who either travel to other countries, people from the West who go to more impoverished nations and think they're going to retire there for pennies or whatever and exploit. So there we have it. this is one of the origin stories. The tender anchors just offshore and they fired off a shot to alert the locals of their arrival.
Okay.
Nothing happened. Of course, there's no one there.
So they're expecting like a cannon to respond?
Right. Okay. And that there would be all these little boats that would come out and gather them.
So it's a real long, awkward silence.
It's a really long silence. The boats just then decided to make their way to the sand.
Like, well, maybe.
Well, I should say they were piloted there, not the boats sentiently. So like, well, let's just go. So they pull up, the people get off, they disembark, and they stood on this desolate beach and wondered if maybe they'd navigated poorly.
No, that happened. You know, the currents are really wild there. I mean,
maybe we just got, I don't know, a few miles up the coast. And
Spanish wrote a lot about the Caribbean currents.
Yeah. So they're standing there wondering what's going on. There's got to be a booming metropolis around here somewhere.
We just can't hear it. Maybe everyone be quiet. Maybe we...
like, shh. There's another ship full of 150 people just pulling up behind them.
Oh, man.
And they're just as eager to start their new lives.
The whole same thing.
Yeah, they're in fancy clothes, too. Some of the group tried to make their way inland to see if they could pick up, like, the outskirts of this capital city. Mm-hmm.
Just find the gold road or whatever.
Yeah. So the rest of them, they stay on the beach with all of their earthly belongings. Don't forget, they up and left.
I'm sorry.
I'm talking luggage, furniture.
Just all these trunks, a chair.
I'm praying there was a piano in with all of this. All supplies. They actually had a lot of supplies.
I imagine some of them brought stuff for their businesses. So there's like butcher blocks and stuff.
Yes, exactly. There's like someone sharpening all the knives for them and stuff. So they get about half their stuff off of the main ships when the sky starts to darken.
Oh, God.
The winds pick up.
Oh, God.
That's right. That's right, baby.
Did the sailors not tell them? Because they know weather.
They could
smell
it.
Just like, get off the boat. Just get off the boat.
Hurricane.
Here, take your stuff. We'll throw it. Don't worry.
Hurricane. But you could call it slurricane.
Hurricane.
Yeah. They basically were like Weather Channel correspondents on the front lines of a hurricane, but no windbreakers, no beleaguered camera crew.
Oh,
it was just them and the wind and the driving rain. The two large ships lost at sea.
Of course.
Yeah.
Those
and their stuff scattered all up and down the beach in pieces. It's terrible. They did their best to sort of create some shelter on the beach. and in like the encroaching jungle.
I imagine they also brought with them children and animals.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's the rainy season, though. This high hurricane. And pretty soon everyone's sick. Yellow fever.
Oh, God.
And because it is, after all, the mosquito coast, malaria. And so as it happens, Marshall Bennett, who was the chief magistrate of Belize, he was hopped on his schooner called the Mexican Eagle. And he went for a little visit to the Mosquito King. Totally unrelated, right? On the way there, he's like, what are all these people doing on the
what are all these white folks doing on the beach?
So he's like, ahoy, ahoy, what's going on over there? And they're like, where's Poye?
I know y'all lost, so what's going on?
Well, they say he finds them, and they're like, we're here to go to Poye. He's like, what's Poye? And they're like, no, 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 it's this wonderful city.
It's
there's a
cathedral. Kingdom, just right over here.
He's like, guys, there's no Poye. I know this place. Hello, I'm the chief magistrate of Belize.
And I speak English. So I know you understand what I'm saying.
There's no Poye. And they're like, well, we bought passage from the cacique of Poye. He's like, I'm the what now?
Who's it?
There's no Poye, so there's no cacique of Poye. And the king of Miskito, he finds out about Gregor's scheme.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh yeah, that guy, I got a couple pieces of jewelry off him and that rum. He's like, no, 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 no. I revoke whatever it was that I signed. I don't remember. But so it was like me. I don't know what I signed, but whatever. It doesn't mean anything. So he's like, you know, this guy, this Gregor, son of Gregor, he has no right to anything here. And he tells the settlers, guess what? You're on my turf now. You either swear allegiance to me or GTFO. They're like, thinking about it. They're like, yeah, can we catch a ride to Belize?
Yeah.
So it takes...
The boats are sunk though, right?
Yeah, it takes 3 trips on the Mexican Eagle to ferry the survivors. And they're crammed in there because the ship's not big.
Mm-hmm.
They'd lost some folks by this point. Others were too sick to travel. And then I guess the ones who, they just became subjects of the Mosquito King. And we're like, all right, I guess, off to the jungle. But everyone else gets thrown into the boat and taken up to Belize. The Hondurans, they sent some clipper ships out to stop and reroute any further incoming ships.
Oh, smart.
Yeah. And how many ships of Brits made it out there in total? 7.
Oh, man.
7 were on the sea. So they divert the rest of them. About 250 people set foot on the supposed Poye.
Mm-hmm.
Of those, 180 died.
Whoa.
Yeah. And less than 50 of them made it back to Britain.
Oh.
The rest, you know, either stayed in Belize or they went to the United States, actually.
I'm always blown away by these stories whenever you read about them, especially the 19th century, is how many times, like, 200 people went there, 17 came back.
Right.
It's just always like, what
the
heck?
It's brutal. The world is brutal. Back home, people are a little outraged.
I bet.
A little bit. Some of that Gregor McGregor luck, though, and cunning starts to kick in.
Uh-oh.
So he says, you know what? It's not my fault that things turned out the way they did.
And how would that be exactly?
He said that he still continued to say, Poye exists. All right, guys. I was the one who was swindled. And I was conned out by my business associates. Yeah. They led everyone astray, and they're responsible for the poor navigation. They dropped them off at the wrong place. We're still waiting for everyone at Poye.
Like you, I've been bamboozled. I've been hornswoggled. Where's my justice?
They're standing on the streets of Poye with bouquets of flowers for all these people that are wilted now.
I'm sure their feelings are hurt. There's a lot of victims here.
The feasts of exotic goat meat. And goose fat.
All the troops of actors preparing shows is welcoming.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
They would think they hear something out on the beach and they're like, and 5, 6, 7, 8. And then like, no, that was just
dancing down.
That was just a big pelican. Like, oh, never mind. All right. Places, people.
First positions, everybody.
So he says, yeah, it's not my fault. Wasn't me.
I love that.
And he says, you know what? If everyone would just have listened to me, those people would be alive right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And a lot of people believed him. They're like, yeah, you know what, guys, you're right. If you just listen to Gregor over there, he's like, yep.
Confidence is king.
Yes. And destiny is all. So people are battling it out in the press mainly as to like who holds the blame.
Mm-hmm.
Gregor and his family and some of his associates slipped out of London. They said, Josefa, his wife, she's not well, and she's under doctor's orders to go to Italy to recover.
Yeah, she has to.
I really need that doctor's note.
You need to go. Elizabeth must go to Italy for 6 weeks. This is an order, and also take me with her.
Yeah, exactly. So instead, he goes to France. So he didn't really go to Italy. He goes to France. This was right before a small party of survivors, that little group that made it home, before they come home. But when they got to England, people really got pissed. They got so mad because here are these, the firsthand account of what happened and how just taken they were. And they're looking around like, well, where is
Gregor? Yeah, where is that?
Well, I guess he's in Italy, right? Well, no, he's
where
not
there. Where is that son of Gregor?
What's Gregor doing over in France? Setting up more offices in Paris to sell land and fortune in Poye. He's like, they don't talk. The English and the French, they don't talk.
They don't like each other. It's
no,
cool.
They won't
it's
talk.
Fine.
So for a time, he tried to take the...
Wait, this is like 1820s France. So
yeah.
This is like, oh, wow.
He tries to...
Dicey time.
He tries to make Poye legitimate by going to the Spanish and asking them to annex it. And he's giving them all, you know, you can do this with it. They're just like, no, get out of here, dude. So they don't bite. So he's winning the confidence of more and more French society folks. Mm-hmm. And he starts to make a new scheme where he's going to transfer huge swaths of land to investors and make them the de facto rulers. But that also makes them responsible for the fates of the people who go there.
Oh, interesting.
So he's kind of shifting
he's
the
like
blame.
He's like Sir Walter Raleigh-ing them. Like, yes. Just go over there and we'll see what happens.
Yes. 1825, the first ship leaves Le Havre, toward the luxuries of Poye.
And the dependencies.
Yeah, and all of its dependencies, which is like the one king there. Gregor, he gets a second loan for this phantom country of Poye. This time it's 300,000 pounds. So this
it's
is like
more?
Millions and millions and millions for a stake in the Poyer gold mines.
And what about his previous loan? Did the bank just be like, well, that guy, you know.
Well, he winds up like converting it to stock and stuff. And these people are buying in. And yeah.
Wow, okay.
So he was able to run this con in France for 2 years. And then the French start asking questions.
Finally.
They're like, why are people asking for passports to go to this country that we've never heard of? This is not a country on our approved
list. It's not on any of the maps we have.
No.
And we have all of the maps.
They start up this investigation. And so in 1827, Gregor's like, I'm going back to England. I'll take my chances there. And then he lands and is immediately arrested. So the French are like, you know what? Let them take care of this. He's their dude. Like, all right, he's arrested. Fine, we're done. But then the charges are mysteriously dropped. Yeah, he's a free man. And then he decides he wants to be a free man in Paris. Off he goes.
Okay.
So he's vindicated
quite the turn
in,
I didn't expect.
In England. And so for whatever reason, the charges get dropped.
But I'm saying that the part that is really wild to me is, okay, the charges get dropped. That's crazy. And then he's like, I'm going to go back to the place that also
where
wants
that's
me.
That's investigating
yeah,
me.
I mean, like, bro, you just got off.
Well,
like,
he goes back and he gets arrested over there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, this is.
But he claimed again, you know what? I'm the one who's been conned here. I'm the victim. And one of his associates fled to the Netherlands, right?
Okay. Do you want to get back under like Spanish?
So because that guy's running for it, he's like, it's him. He won't stand here and face you like a man, like I will. So Gregor just pins everything on dude in the Netherlands. And he comes up with all these like fake documents and stories. His associates get convicted and he's found not guilty on all charges.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he wrote like a huge treatise that his lawyer reads out.
Did they not look at all of the books and paperwork that he created? I mean, wouldn't that be entered into evidence? Like,
No, they enter it in and they're like, well, I guess, you know, Strange Ways wrote another account of this. So yes, thank you, John Barron. So he planned to live out the rest of his years in Paris.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of like a questionable society layabout.
Yeah.
That's a good plan. But he blew through all the money.
Oh,
and he
man.
Did it quickly. He'd been living really, really large.
Apparently.
And he spread the money around to a bunch of people. He did like an MC Hammer where
yeah,
he was supporting
entourage.
Way too many Everyone's people.
Everyone's wearing sable fur.
Yes. He also, it costs a lot of money to put these boats together
yes.
to take people
oh,
over
yes.
there. So he's like, in order to keep that con looking fresh and real, he's
yeah.
sinking cash into
the
that.
The whole reason we have corporations is because of how expensive it is to get boats over there.
Exactly. So in 1838, Josefa died.
Oh.
And at this point, he'd already lost two children. Hmm. So he has nothing left.
But his memories.
And they're beautiful. And the braid in his hair from sandals. Poye. So the last time he had nothing, he made a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes that choice again. South America.
Viva South America.
He's going back. Basically, his version of fake my death, go to Cuba. That's the only option. So 1839, old Gregor, son of Gregor, he makes his way to Venezuela and he just begs for citizenship.
He's like, is Simon Bolivar still here?
He also, he wanted his old military titles and honors. So it's not
if he's
even,
not, I'm a captain.
Yeah, that's basically what he did. So he goes there and instead of saying, please, can I be a citizen? He's like, can I be a citizen and have a title and be well-regarded and a pension.
And a big hat. I'm going to need a big hat.
Throw in a pension and a big hat.
Yeah, some tassels. Set.
He gets it. He gets it all. He gets citizenship. He gets a pension.
He gets the tassels.
He lives out his days as a normal, respected citizen there.
Okay.
And then no one talked about Amelia Island when he thought he was going to capture Florida.
Uh-huh.
That's gone. Just... No one talks about Poye.
Oh, how?
Forget it. He died in Caracas, December 4th, 1845. And he received a full military funeral and burial.
Wow.
And was just lauded by the people. Rewrote history. That area known as Poye,
mm-hmm.
undeveloped to this day. So it really, you can see that it wasn't just, oh, they didn't know how
it to. It was like Florida Everglades land.
Yeah.
Like, this
yeah.
is never going to be turned into yeah. anything useful.
Yeah. So what's your ridiculous takeaway from this tale of Gregor MacGregor?
If you fail the first time, just keep conning.
Over the exact same
go
con,
go bigger.
Too.
Maybe even go bigger. That's also, and get a uniform.
Yes.
Uniform, go bigger, and try moving around a lot.
So
be
perfect.
Like, oh, it couldn't have been me. I'm the cacique. And
that's
like,
perfect. Life pro tip right there.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about Konnikova's assessment of Gregor MacGregor.
Hmm.
That, like, his con was so intuitive and convincing that he was able to keep running the same con over and over.
Oh, yeah. He had got it into the vein of humanity.
Yeah. People, they had hard evidence mm-hmm. that he was full of it.
Yeah.
And yet, nope. That right there is true confidence, right?
Yep.
Confidence in himself and the confidence that people had in him.
And he wins their confidence
yeah.
to him.
I can't believe that people fell for it, but I'm guessing that they probably didn't think they'd fall for something so outrageous either.
That's how they fall for it.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to bring up to you is that I have some land
mm-hmm.
on a special secret island.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it have good farmland?
It's amazing.
Are there already existing roads and infrastructure?
Yes.
Infrastructure?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. There are carbon neutral trains.
Perfect. Let me go get my checkbook. I'll be right back.
That's it for today. You can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. Do you have a tip for us about a ridiculous crime that you'd like to hear about? You want to just chat? You want to confess to it a ridiculous crime? I like those emails. Email us at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. And after that, just tune in next time, my rude dudes.
Stay skeptical.
Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by His Royal Flyness, David Kustin. Research is by Poyer Princess Marissa Brown. The theme song is by Truthless Troubadour Thomas Lee and Flim Flam Balladeer Travis Dutton. Executive producers are General Ben Bolin and Admiral Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Matcha.
I love matcha. So rich and smooth.
Do you love matcha love?
Yep. Matcha love is the best in the biz.
Experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf.
So many powerful health benefits.
You know what else I love? Sweet treats.
You are in luck. Matcha's great for baking.
Can you make cookies or cheesecake with matcha?
Yes, or your other favorites, ice cream or madeleines.
Yes, delicious.
Matcha love.
Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoen.com using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, is finally here.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit.
They're looking to get a guy that they believe can change the game.
With NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Presented by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy.